You know, the Bible describes that New Jerusalem in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelations, and it tells us in that 21st verse, it says, "And 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate one of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." You know, the Bible tells us that these streets, that those of us that have been saved by God's grace will walk one of these days, it's going to be pure gold. And, you know, I don't think that'll amount to a hill of beans. I don't think that'll have any effect on us as far as there won't be anybody desiring to have all the gold or anything like that, because I want to read on just a little further here. As you read on in that, it says, "And I saw no temple therein, and the Lord, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are in the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." I mean, difference how much that gold or those pearls or all those different stones or how they glisten, how they shine, and you know, in our earthly minds we think of all the possessions and all the things of this world. You know, you think about the gold and all the diamonds and the pearls and all these different things that the world desires to have, the riches and all the things, but it will not even matter, I don't believe, to us, because of that light, because of Jesus Christ that is going to be there in that city, and where there is no need for a sun or a moon to shine, because the glory of God is going to be present there. We're going to be in that glory. We're going to be in the presence of God. And the Lamb is the light thereof, Jesus Christ. That will be the main attraction in heaven. There won't be any all these distractions of worldly goods and things that goes on in this life there. Jesus Christ and the Lamb that is going to be the light is going to be the main focus, the main attraction, the main thing. That's what everybody's eyes is going to be focused on. All these other lights that we see today, they're just one of these days they're going to burn. They're going to all be gone. I pray this morning that we all will be looking in our hearts this morning trying to find that light. Hope we've come to worship Jesus this morning. I hope that we've not allowed the lights of this world to overwhelm our hearts and our minds, that we have gathered here this morning to worship God and to lift up Jesus' name and to give Him honor and glory that He deserves today. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. It truly is. Good to feel the presence of the Lord here this morning. You know, I worry when these times of the year come, because there is so much distraction that goes on. I know that we focus our hearts and our minds on this time of the year, that we want to focus on the birth of Christ, and I hope we're doing that. But it seems so much that we're so distracted by all the stuff that's going on that that it's spiritually cold. Let's try not to be that way. Let's try to, at least while we're here, let's serve God. Let's forget all the stuff that's going on. Let's forget all the presents and all the things that we've bought and going to give and hope to get and all this stuff that don't matter. Let's set it aside for a time today. And let's focus our hearts and our minds upon Jesus. Let's give God honor and glory today. And I need that. I need your prayers this morning. I need your prayers. I know it's a distracting time, but let's try to keep our focus and that God would be pleased with us in this service today. If you're here and visited with us, I'm thankful that you're here, and I hope you're made to feel welcome. I truly do. We need to go to the Lord in prayer, but before we do, there may be someone here that has something on their heart they'd like to mention. This is the time that we set aside. There's nothing, no other people that I would rather have praying for me than the Lord's people. And we set this time aside that if you have something on your heart you would like to mention, that we can take these things to the Lord and that the Lord would hear our petitions. And also this time that, that we can get our hearts and our minds focused, that we can draw closer to God ourselves. Maybe that if we walked in with the wrong frame of mind, the wrong thought of mind, that maybe when we get down on our knees in prayer this morning that we can get a hold of Him and that He'll just come and abide with us and feast with us today. We need that. So if there's anybody that has anything on their heart this morning, please. Absolutely. It's good with me. Good to hear these good things. Answered prayers. Someone else this morning. Barbara's family today, and their family, pray that through all this that if they hadn't been saved, something would be said or done. It would point them in the right direction that they can be saved. Lord help. Someone else this morning. Pray for Brother House this morning. Someone else this morning. You pray for that family. Yes. And what they're going through.
us. Remember Brent, and continue to remember this young girl and her surgery and cancer. You know, Lord, cancer seems to be one of those things that it's truly, it devours lives, and it doesn't matter what age. But the Lord can heal. He's still the great physician. He's still the one that's in control. So let's pray this morning for her healing. Certainly, let's remember Brent and his condition. He didn't know where the Lord, what the Lord has done for him. And if nothing hadn't been done, that he would seek him to be saved. Something on someone else's heart this morning. Pray for her neighbor in this. Someone else this morning. If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's be thankful for things as good as they are with us. There's a lot of bad things that's going on. A lot of sickness, a lot of sorrow. And I just say this morning, I personally am thankful to God for His blessings today. All hearts and minds clear. Brother Jimmy, did you leave? Yes, that's right. We're having prayer. I forgot. Ask your Lord for leadership and help, your Lord.
guide us, dear God, upon the words that you have us to say today, Lord. We pray, dear Lord, for just for each thing, Lord, that we do today, dear God, that you might be in our hearts and our minds. And help me, dear Lord, to just point souls to Jesus, Lord, to point each one to Jesus, dear God, and that our hearts and our minds might be focused upon you, Lord, as we serve you today, dear Lord. And we just give you thanks for all that you've done, dear God. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for saving our soul, Lord. When we was a young boy, dear God, the time, dear Lord, we didn't know much, Lord, but you took care of us, Lord, and we just pray, Father, for any of those that might be here and lost, dear God, that you do the same for them that you did for me, dear Lord. Lord, just draw them and allow them to understand their soul's condition, Lord, that they would seek you, Lord, this day, that they might be saved. Just help us, dear God, as a people, Lord, to do the things that we need to do, Lord, that we will be the lights that we need to be here. Faith, dear God, to just reach out to those that are around us, Lord, that are lost, dear God. Just help us, Lord, to do those things that we need to do. Give us, Lord, the sins and shortcomings, Lord. In Jesus' name, I humble you and praise you.
Thank you.
Take my reading lesson this morning out of the second chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, starting in the first verse. It says, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we
have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had heard privately, called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and when they were come in the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when he had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I'm going to stop my reading there this morning. And I guess in this reading, there are basically two things that I was wanting to look at. Basically, the star and the presenting of the gifts. I've been thinking about that, the presenting of the gifts this week, and how we as a people, when we come in the presence of the Lord on Sunday morning, how what kind of gifts do we present? What kind of gifts do we present? Now, these wise men that came in here, they presented to him gold and frankincense and myrrh. But as we've gathered here this morning, what presents do we bring to give Christ? In our worship this morning, as we have gathered here, and we'll get to that a little bit later maybe as we go, but just think about that. And I think that's something for all of us to think about. What have we brought to try to offer up to the Lord this morning? When we started our reading here, we find out some things about when Christ was born. It tells us, says in this first verse, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, I think basically everybody thinks that that Christ was born in 1 A.D., but Herod died in 4 B.C. from what history says. So whether you consider that, consider the history, the Bible doesn't say, give specific dates, but history, you can go back and see where Herod died in 4 B.C. So, first of all, in this reading here, we find that if Christ was born, he'd had been born probably in 5 or 6 B.C. So, saying these wise men that came in to Jerusalem, now, Herod was all about his control and about his power for Rome, and he was afraid that there was going to be, he had no doubt heard of the history, the story of the prophets, of a Messiah to come in, of the Jews and to rule, and he was worried about this, his political power and his military might that he had to hold over all these people. He was worried about this, and these wise men that came in, the Magi from the east, They came in and they were looking to find Jesus. These were men that didn't know him, but they were looking to find him. I can correlate that with when I was young. I was a young man and I didn't know him either, and I was looking to find him. I was looking to find Jesus before he saved my soul. I didn't know him. I'd heard about him. No doubt these men, these Jews, had heard about him. And God sent a star for them to allow them to, or to direct them to Christ in his birth. Now these men were coming to a king. It was obvious that there was an understanding about this child when he was to be born. It was obvious that even the Jews knew that there was royalty involved, that this baby was a king, that he was to be king of the Jews. And they was expecting this. They was looking for this Messiah, this king of the Jews, someone that would be raised up as a Jew. And they were looking for this political power and for this military power that they may rule as Rome was doing. That they may be able to take over in power and might and authority, just like Rome had done. And that's what all the Jews were looking at too. And no doubt the people that were, or Herod, he was an old man at this time, and he had heard the prophecies as well as the Jews about this babe that was to be born at this time. And this these men, now how... I believe the Bible is pretty silent about how these men knew that what this star was about, but I believe the Bible tells us in the reading here that God warned these men in a dream not to go back to Herod and tell them about where this babe was born or where Christ was born. So if he spoke to them in a dream at the end there, he spoke to them most likely at the beginning, and he allowed them to know that that star that was pointing was to direct them to the king, to the Messiah. So as they looked and they searched, they spoke with the king, and they told that basically this king now was a man that he wanted to destroy Christ. He wanted to destroy any kind of a threat that was going to come towards him. So that was the reason that he was sending these wise men or this magi to find out and where he was at so he could send somebody in to kill him. Matter of fact, you read on in the reading here how that after they went, the Magi went in a different direction and went another way home and didn't go back and report to Herod that Herod sent in, and he had all the children killed that was 2 years down. He wanted to try to get rid of the threat, if you want to say it that way. Any threat that would oppose his power or his authority or his political ruling. But these men that went in, they were looking for a star, and the Lord showed them a star. They was pointing to Christ. These men that wanted to see the king, they saw this star, and I believe that we can look in the Bible and we can go throughout the Bible and we can find how wherever God was, that his glory was present close by. We can go back to the very beginning and we can find in reading over in Exodus how that God led his people out of Israel with a cloud and a fire by night to direct them. You can turn on over and you can find in the 24th chapter about in verse 17 it says, "And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got into the mount, and Moses was on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights." Now, this glory that was upon Mount Sinai here, where the people of Israel was looking on to, and of course this is where Moses went up, and God gave him the Ten Commandments and all these different things that went on. The glory of the Lord was present in God's people from the beginning. I believe that the glory of the Lord is supposed to be present in the people today, in God's people. I believe the presence and the glory of the Lord should shine in His people, in His church. It's a city on a hill that cannot be hid. It is that light that we're supposed to not cover up with a bushel. All the many different things that say it. But I believe this specific light had reference to the Shekinah glory of God. How that only these men, now, it's very obvious that if this light was so bright and so prominent in this city, that there would have been a lot of other people saw it too, wouldn't it? If it would have been just a regular star from the distance that they would have been coming, it would have just seemed, you know, have you ever looked up at night at the stars and you could walk forever and still not ever get to a star? I believe that it was a specific light that was given to these men. I believe it was a light to direct them. Why do these wise men? I don't know. But it was a specific light that was given to them to direct them, because, you know, you think about it, all the people that were in that city, when they had all come in into that city to be taxed, they were all gathered there. And yet there were none of the other people that were drawn to this great light, were they? Except for the shepherds, who that was given also a light while they were abiding their sheep. And they were out in the fields. They weren't in the city. So you get to thinking about these things, and you get to thinking about how the Lord directs His light. I was thinking about how specific, when the Lord draws somebody and tells them and points them that they're lost, how bright and specific is that light upon you? I've told people many times when I come to the understanding that I was lost, that I was sitting back there in a pew, and it hit me all of a sudden, and I looked around to see if everybody else was looking at me. I mean, that's how specific that drawing and that light was upon me at the moment in time when I realized that I was lost. I felt like everybody else could see me. They could see that I was lost. I feel that this light was so specific to these men that they could see it like that. And that it drawed them like that. There's a drawing power that has to be in place when somebody is saved by God's grace. See, without the drawing, you have left out the Holy Spirit of God. Without the drawing, you've left out the conviction. Without the drawing, you've left out the part that points to you and says you're a sinner in God's eyes and that you must repent of your sins and trust in me for the salvation of your soul. Without that drawing, nobody would repent. Without that conviction and that drawing, nobody would repent. There's not a single one of us in here would have ever repented, would have never seen ourselves to be sinners in God's eyes, had it not been for for the Holy Spirit of God revealing our sins upon our hearts as a light shining upon us and showing us for what we are, sinners in God's eyes. None of us would have bowed had it not been for that drawing light. It drawed us. It drawed us just like this light drawed these wise men, these magi. It drawed them to the feet of Jesus the same way it did us. When we got saved, we had to come to the feet of Jesus. We had to understand that we was a sinner and that Christ was the only one that we could turn to. I'm thankful this morning for that drawing light, that star that appeared, that Shekinah glory that only God uses. It's spoken of many times in here. You can read about Christ and His transfiguration, where it said His face shone like the sun. So many verses in here that tells, you know, you read about some of the things that I read this morning over in the book of Revelations, having reference actually to that. And His face shone like the sun. Over in that 21st chapter, it's talking about the glory of God, and the Lamb is the light thereof. All these different things that is mentioned in the Bible, and it tells us that how there is light that is brought to us that enables us to be saved. You think about Paul on the Damascus Road. What did he say? When you look in the 9th chapter and the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, it tells that he saw a great light, didn't he? You can read in the 26th chapter and it says that it was midday and that light was brighter than the sun. Christ speaking to him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That great light that shines, that shown him that he was a sinner. The glory of God that did shine. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, and mind you, this is into the house. This is not into the stable. This is probably months to possibly years from the birth of Christ in this reading. It says, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. The word worship here means to fall down on your face, prostrate on your face, bow down, worship. What do we say today? That you have to pray. You have to bow down and you have to seek the Lord. You have to pray and ask Him. When we pray, we what? We normally, we get down on our face. We get down on our knees. And we pray to God. Now these, according to what I understand and read, these magi or these wise men could have very well been kings themselves. There's a reference in the 60th chapter, verse 3 in the book of Isaiah that states that. So, these kings that were coming in to present the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with these gifts, they came to worship Him. They came to worship Him. The things that they presented to Him was said to represent, the gold was to represent royalty, and the frankincense was to represent His divinity, and the myrrh was to represent His humanity, as the myrrh was used for the embalming of people, the incense. I don't know, it doesn't tell a lot about what happened after they saw Him. It never mentions the name, and it's pretty vague about everything from that point on about these men. But it was one thing that I do know, that they met the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that day. And they worshiped Him on that day. It's important for us as God's people that we try to be the light that we need to be. You know, I believe that when we as God's people are serving and doing what we're supposed to do, that the glory of God shines down upon us. I believe it sets us apart. I believe that is the only thing that sets us apart and enables anybody to be able to see a difference in us, is when the glory of God is shining upon us in our service and in our lives and the things that we do. If you're here and you're lost today, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light that you need to turn to. It's easy to find verse after verse in the Bible. You can look over in the book of John in the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Why so many times do we do everything that we can do that somebody might see and understand and be saved, and yet they just don't get it? They just don't see it. It takes the glory of God to reveal it to us. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to reveal to a sinner that they are lost. Once that has done, once that's happened, it's upon that sinner's responsibility to seek God, to follow the star, to follow the light, to keep seeking Jesus until they find Him. You know, you'll see them a lot of times, they'll bow once and they don't ever seem convicted again. Maybe they get saved, I don't know. You see them sometimes, they'll go to the altar for years. We can't see their hearts. But we can instruct them that if they've never seen the light, if they've never felt peace in their heart, that Jesus was their Savior, that they're still lost, that Jesus is the way. He is the truth and the life and the way. There's always time and opportunity, as long as you have a breath, I believe, here on this earth. And He's give you the light to go by. He give you Christ. He is that light. Follow that light. Look to Jesus this morning that you might be saved. God bless you. Those are my thoughts this morning.
Bert, let's have a song. If you're here this morning and lost, you want to seek the Lord, please do that. If you had never been saved by God's grace, I pray
for that conviction to come upon you. I hope it happens to you just like it did me. I hope you think that everybody in this church house is looking at you because you're a sinner and you're lost. I hope you think it. And I hope you'll do something about it by seeking the Lord this morning that you might be found.
Let's turn to page number 201 and sing the first and last verse.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me.
Changed. God bless you all is my prayer this morning. I just pray. I know there's lost among us. I worry about your souls. But all I can do is tell you about Jesus. You're going to have to seek him if you're ever saved. You got to do that yourself. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart this morning. Yeah. Special service tonight. We've got our Christmas program. Finger foods afterwards. Invite some guests to come. Invite somebody, bring somebody with you. I know they've been practicing hard and they do a good job. They do a good job. Anyone else? If not, you can come back tonight. But then did you dismiss?
Yeah. It's kind of great to be able to talk. I'm so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to be here in my house today. I want to thank you for the good message that we heard and the one that brought it. And you pray for Heavenly Father, the one here today is lost and without you. Just be this message to their heart, dear Lord. So thankful, Lord, for all the blessings you are in our home. You know, we're not worthy of anything you do for us.